So I'm very excited to be talking about two of my favorite subjects today, surrender and acceptance. Boy, I always wonder how it is that Spirit is so good at coming up with the very right and perfect idea for what's needed in life. And I got to say, surrender and acceptance is looking different than I thought it would look way back in November, December, when I was writing these talk titles and I was thinking about, oh, we're going to be talking about change, we're going to talk about the power of our word and surrender and acceptance, and here we are. I had to do a lot of surrendering this last week. I had to do a lot of accepting this last week, today, an hour ago. Still doing it. Surrendering to what's so, surrendering to the truth, surrendering my old ideas, and accepting that there's a power for good in the universe, and it's right where I am, it's right where we are, it's in me, and it's through me, and it's as me, and living in that. So, surrender. Surrender. Ernest Holmes wrote, "Love alone can overcome fear because love surrenders itself to the object of its adoration." Love alone can overcome fear because love surrenders itself to the object of its adoration. So while it's true there is fear going on in the world, very likely in our own hearts at times, it is actually love, surrendering to love, the experience, the expression of love, that is what we're yearning for. And you know, I talk about love all the time. It's my favorite subject. We're here to love, we're here to know love, we're here to be love, we're here to show love, we're here to express love. And sometimes I think I have felt like a broken record, but now more than ever, love is what's being called for. Love is the activity of life. And love is why we gather. And love is what brought some of us into this very room so that we could be here together. Love is what brings us together through technology. Love is that space between us. I really want to be clear that that space between me and you is not fear. That space between us is God, and God is love. That space is love. There's nothing for us to know other than that. Love. And acceptance. Acceptance is that other great thing that's going on. We're accepting things all over the place, accepting orders and accepting our part, accepting the truth. And acceptance is an action. It's more than just resigning to a situation. It's more than just saying, well, that's the law, I'm going to do it. Acceptance is powerful. Sometimes in our prayers, you'll hear us say, you'll hear yourself say, I know this and I accept this. It's a powerful statement to say, I accept this. I accept this truth. I accept this fear. I accept this love. I accept the possibility. So to be really mindful and really clear about what it is that I am accepting and allowing that to move in me. In The Science of Mind, which I will be speaking a lot from today, prayer is not an act of overcoming God's reluctance, but an active acceptance of His highest willingness. I don't know about you, but I've been in prayer a lot, maybe even more than normal. in the last couple of weeks. And in that prayer, I do find myself saying, I know and I accept. I know and I accept. I accept this good. I accept a greater idea. I accept this. I find myself saying, I surrender, God. I surrender to you. I find myself finding solace in accepting and in surrendering. So as we're praying, shall we remember to leave no one out, to be in prayerfulness, in that experience of accepting that this too is God. For that is my prayer. My prayer is to be so steeped in what I know to be true that I am not rocked from the circumstances and the conditions that are surrounding me. My prayer is that I am in touch with the divinity of God within me, so that I may be the light beneath my own feet and be it for those around me. My prayer is that, as Fred says in his beautiful prayer, that answer is already known in the mind of God. And we, by our willingness to be open channels for that wisdom, will be the expression through which it comes. That awareness that there's something good going on here. Well, there is. Have you noticed it? Have you noticed the way people are being with each other? Being really great. So, we begin our service. We begin our meals, oftentimes. We begin rituals and ceremonies, and we even begin meetings with prayer. And it's explained in the Science of Mind like this. For the mold of acceptance is the measure of our experience. The infinite fills all molds and forever flows into new and greater ones. In our prayer, we are creating that mold. We're creating that acceptance of the Word of God. In our prayer, we are mindfully, intentionally declaring a truth. In our prayer, we're mindfully, intentionally aligning with Spirit. In our prayer, our word is being formed. Ernest Holmes goes on to say, it is wonderful to contemplate the mental attitude of people who are not afraid to say, I know. We shall all arrive at this selfish same assurance, this perfect faith, in such degree as we cease contemplating the universe as opposed to itself. As we cease having the will to do or to be that which is contrary to the universal good. So what he's inviting us to do here, and it's very appropriate today, is to cease contemplating that the universe is opposed to itself. Could God, that divine essence of all of life that we know to be only love, be opposed to itself? I say no. It cannot be opposed to itself. And because I believe that, and I actually trust it, and claim that I know it, then everything going on is about God knowing itself and revealing itself in a greater way. I am not saying this is a good thing for us. I am not saying that we shouldn't be aware of the frailty, the fragileness of humanity. I'm saying in consciousness, In God, God cannot be opposed to itself. If and I want to keep my head straight, if I want to keep my heart open, if I want to keep my mind open, I need to find these truths that center me, that anchor me in faith, in wholeness, so that I can be in the world and be in this activity of today and not be so afraid that I'm not doing good, I'm doing harm in how I'm being with each other, with you and with us. As we cease having the will to do or to be that which is contrary to the universal good, reminds me to lovingly practice distance for the universal good, for that which is being revealed to us as a way to love each other, as a way to be with each other, as a way to protect each other, as a way to honor that life. What I want us to remember is that what we are doing is contributing to the universal good for all. And how we go about it, it matters. So the other thing that we learn in prayer is, what is the intention? What am I praying for? What is this prayer about? When I know my intention, when I'm clear about it, it flows. When I know my intention about why I'm practicing social distancing, when I understand my intention to it, it's not hard. It's not hard. I might not like it. I really don't like it. But it's not hard. Because my intention is to be part of that universal good. And if the collective wisdom of us, the collective wisdom of us has said, this is good for all, it can't just be good for one. It's good for all. Then my part in it matters. How I go about it matters. My intention is important. So I set myself up in the morning. Who do I want to be? How do I want to be? How am I going to interact in life today? Where am I going to show up? And how am I going to show up? In 365 Science of Mind, a couple of days ago, it was the most profound and beautiful reading. I'll give you a snippet of it. We believe that the mind of God governs all things. We believe that God's intelligence in the midst of us is guiding, governing, counseling, and advising, causing us to know what to do under every circumstance and at all times, if we will but trust it. Therefore, every seeming problem has a right solution, and we may turn to the infinite knower for the answer. In our human ignorance, we often make unwise decisions, but there is nothing that God cannot set right if we permit him to do so. So even in this experience, I'm surrendering my human knowing, and I am accepting and remembering and knowing that there is a divine knower, that there is an infinite intelligence that is moving through all of life. It moves through us. It expresses as us. We are the voice of it. We are the hands of it. And as we make ourselves open to it, we perceive it. We experience it. And those answers that we're seeking, they're already known in the mind of God. So I surrender. I surrender my need to have it be my way. I surrender my need for it to look a particular way. I surrender, I give it up I lay it down and I accept the whisper, the nudges, the illumination of God. As a philosophy, as a movement, we've been very organic. Have you noticed that about us? We've been very organic. It's been very gentle and sweet and loving and kind, and now is the time for us to be very intentional, to know what we know, to practice what we know, to live what we know, to speak what we know, to speak love. That's what I'm speaking of. To speak kindness, to speak compassion, to speak beauty, to speak understanding. I was on a call earlier this week, and it occurred to me that it's as though the seeds that were planted, well, they've all sprouted. And we're in the garden, and we're nurturing the garden. We're nurturing the garden. Mindfully, intentionally. So there are specific things that we might do to help us to unify with God, with love, with source, with light. And I think that we are all doing them. And it's good to remember some of them. Prayer, of course. Meditation. But I had a really great suggestion this week from one of our congregants, and I just loved it so much. And she spoke it differently, but I'll speak it like this. Ask yourself, what softens you? Because have you noticed? You might be like me. It might be a little bit like this right now. A little bit of tenseness going on. Or you might notice it in others. Maybe it's not you. You notice it in me. I'll give you that one. We can ask ourselves, what softens me? Oh, because in that softening, there's space. In that softening, there's room to remember. In that softening, we find hope. And hope springs eternal. Leads us to peace and serenity and bliss. So what softens you? Is it music? Is it nature? Is it painting? Is it being with your four-legged family members? Is it writing, swimming, dancing, singing? And if you don't know what I'm speaking of, this idea of softening, play with it a little bit. What would that even be like to soften? When we soften, we let the light in. When we soften, there's space for God. Caught myself. And notice and revel in the feel-good moments. The feel-good moments. I've been hearing about them. And I love how many are being posted on the internet and how many are being shared and talked about. And I heard one last night, this is such a good feel-good moment that maybe you already know about it, but it feels good just to even remember it so we can say them over and over and over again. So did you hear about the woman yesterday who gave birth to her child in Walmart? Yeah, in the Midwest, a woman went into labor in Walmart. She let the staff know immediately that it would probably be very quick because her first child had been born very quickly, and sure enough. And so the staff of the store, you know, they gave her privacy, and they put things up so that she had privacy, and the firemen who shop at that Walmart showed up and assisted her, and there was a LDR nurse, a labor delivery nurse in the store who came over and said, Can I help you? Yes, by all means, please do help. In our softness, we come together. We aren't so busy that we don't even notice that there's an opportunity to come together, to be in love, to unite. So the feel-good moments, celebrate them. And then I also want to remind us to not be afraid to be home alone. That movie is being written differently for us. Being home alone with the divine. Oh, it's okay. We're safe there. Being home, whether it's alone or with our family, it's safe there. It's a place where we get to remember who we are and whose we are. And as we do that, as we just settle into being home in the center of our being, alone with God, there's no other disturbance. There's no other chatter going on. And there we can be. And in that, our next steps are made clear. The intuition has a clear channel. And I think that sometimes when we're afraid, when we're alone, it reminds me of being in the dark. And I might have shared this with some of you before, but years ago, Fred and I were camping with some middle schoolers, and we took them out on this night hike with our little glow sticks and flashlights, and it was a really dark night. And so Fred took us up to a high point. We were on Catalina Island, took us up onto a high point of the island, and then he told all of us, there must have been 20 of us or so, he said, okay, everybody, turn out your lights. And we did, and we were in darkness. It was so dark. And then, you could just kind of feel, there was a little nervousness, tightness. We weren't very soft. But Fred said, it's all right. Just stand here a minute. Just stay here a minute. And you'll notice that your eyes will start adjusting to the dark. You'll notice that you'll start to make out shapes. You'll notice that you can start to see in the dark. And that's a little bit of how I feel like we are right now. It might seem really dark, but just be still. Let's just allow our eyes, our hearts, our minds to be still. Things will become clear. Solutions will be made known. Answers will appear. We just trust. So as we're standing with each other, 6 feet apart, in the dark, allowing ourselves to surrender to the moment, accept the blessings that are upon us, be informed by Spirit. We're living the life that is God. We're allowing Spirit to move through us. The last thing that that I put here in my notes to remind us about is a statement from Ernest Holmes, and it's from the Science of Mind book, and it's page 282, just in case you want to look it up, and it's all in caps. And you know, when it's all in caps, we like to think that that's when he's shouting at us. In a kind way. In a really kind way. And so his words are really pertinent to me today. To desert the truth in the hour of need is to prove that we do not know the truth. Let's not desert the truth in this hour of need, because we do know it. We have planted those seeds. We have been nurturing those seedlings. We have been being at home with the Holy Spirit within us. We have been remembering that who we are matters and what we say and do makes a difference. We have been experiencing the power of knowing that, my life is your life and your life is my life. We have come to know and understand that we are one. We have come to this point in time where we are not just saying it, but we're living it, we're experiencing it in a whole new way. Let us not desert our understanding. Let us, a new way, let us surrender into it. Let us give ourselves fully, fully, give ourselves fully to that movement that is God, to that understanding that is truth, to that action that is love. I know that who we are is absolutely perfect. I know that the way that we come together during this time matters. So I invite you to remember that you matter. You matter. Everyone does. So we care for each other in the best way possible. By loving, by caring, by sharing. I am so grateful for this philosophy, for this teaching. I am so grateful to know that we come together in consciousness. We come together in person, virtually. We come together in the ways that we can so that we can deepen our connection with God, and therefore we deepen our connection with each other. So for all of this, I am grateful. And I am complete. Thank you.